Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. And Coins Plus has been in business about 20-some years. And we've always been here to treat you right, to operate above board and just shoot straight in everything we do. We're Christian-owned and operated. I say that a little bit loosely only because as I've grown in my life and I know more and more believers that are business associated, the Christian badge is often something that people misuse to gain trust or to absolve themselves of responsibility or whatever. Just make sure, folks, if you're out there, you know, you're a believer, live it, okay? I mean, if you make a deal with somebody, always err on the side of humility. Always err on the side of personal responsibility. I got involved, I guess I mediated a situation here a little bit ago for some relatives, okay? And so here's the situation. One relative who's, you know, they're hardworking, good people, but they're not that well off. They agreed to babysit some other relatives, well, some friends' kids, and they agreed to do it for cash, you know, just straight across as friends. And they gave them a real good price, and they're both Christian. And then come tax time, the accountant says to the other people, oh, you should issue a 1099 and we can, you know, get you a little bit of a write-off on that. Well, the first couple that was doing the babysitting, like I said, they offered a real cut rate and everything. It was just an easy cash deal, part-time or whatever. So the second guy's like, well, geez, I can save money by issuing a 1099 after they'd already agreed to the situation being all cash and none of that other stuff. So the wife with the kids that she was having babysat was fine. The husband kind of went off the rails and I kind of got involved, and he's a believer and he's screaming and yelling and just kind of conducting himself poorly. And what really bothered me was I was like, dude, we're all believers here, right? You know, and he's like, yeah, and he's, you know, this and that. And I'm like, what about you, dude? You made the deal. You make a deal. Psalms 15, folks, isn't a joke when it says, who can dwell on the holy hill of the Lord? I've repeated this a few times, but I'm telling you, you know, it's kind of like with my kids. They're like, Dad, you've already told us this story 50 times. And I'm like, you know, there are certain stories that need to be told infinitely. And that's the point of the Bible. You never get too much of the Bible. You can't say, well, I read that whole thing once 36 years ago. And by golly, unless there's some additions to it or God, you know, adds to it, I just don't really need to read it again. It's not like that. The Bible applies to our life every minute of every day. It's a hologram. It changes direction. My wife and I read Proverbs each day, and we just are like blown away at, you know, chunks of scripture we miss. We almost think we never read. It has totally different meaning. And so there's never too many times to read and apply the Bible. But, you know, let's do it. Psalms 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Who is it? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. Folks, that's a big calling. That is complete and total sincerity. People in general, the more emotional you are, the more biased you probably are. Which means if you tend to fly off the handle, you're more biased than you realize. And, you know, bias isn't always bad. But I'm telling you, truth in your heart is something that is a very pure thing. It's also wisdom, knowing when you don't know. I can't tell you the number of times in my decades of business where I am 100% positive about something. And I was. until I get more information. When I get, so I'm 100% positive based on the information that I've been given. And in numbers of situations, I made myself out to probably be a little bit of a stringent fool, because when more information comes my way, I'm like, oh, that changes everything. And it's really important, I think, to understand what the difference between 99 being 99% right and 100% right is. That's a big struggle when people think they're 99% right, and that's close to 100. It's not 100. So to speak truth in your heart is to be completely honest with yourself about your motives. It's the ability to reflect upon yourself sincerely and honestly at all times. What's even more important is the ability to correct yourself immediately. Correct yourself as quickly as possible. Some of us, you know, may need to go away or, you know, and process things and come back, you know, and it doesn't matter. The sooner the better, okay? And what you want to do is learn. Learn about yourself, learn about your behavior. When you start to see patterns repeat and repeat and repeat, as I've said, God's working on you. Don't fail the same test over and over again, or you're going to just keep getting the same test the rest of your life. You're not going to go on. It's like getting stuck in second grade your whole life with God. No, you need to step up to the plate and grow. If you keep having problems with your bills, if you keep having problems with credit cards, if you keep having problems with relationships, if you keep having problems with your tongue, where you're burning bridges all the time, or maybe you're just a little bit harsh or whatever, you got to work on that. And the thing that I've found in my life is things that aren't a problem for years will become a problem. And I don't know if that's God prodding and cleaning out certain areas of our lives or what, but I think it's important that we're aware of that, that we're constantly striving to be a better and better person. So the situation I was talking about, the one guy who had the kids being babysat, the guy just was off the rails, off the rails. And I couldn't bring the guy back. I couldn't even get him to see rationally. He got stuck in his head that, you know, he could save some money on taxes and that's it. And this, the other, you know, and it didn't hurt the other couple. Didn't have enough income that it was really killing them anyway, I don't think. But the point is just, it's all about integrity. It's never about money. It's never about money. Don't ever let money be your guide. Don't ever let money be your morals. Do not do it. When money guides your decision-making process, you will make bad decisions. And you have got, you know, another thing I'm going to throw in there, folks, is kind of a side note. It's really what you do when no one is watching that determines your integrity and character, isn't it? If you think about it, a lot of us can behave when everyone's watching. And, you know, there's people that'll have different criminal backgrounds and things, and they'll get structure. I've been involved with people that have come out of prison and they're, you know, they've got probation, they've got all this pressure on them, and they behave. And as that pressure lightens up, the whole idea of it is to help them to protect society, to determine if this person's going to reoffend quickly. And B, it's to build a structure around that person to say, look, you know, we're watching you, and basically we're going to give you a shot in society, but you can't blow it. And, you know, we're going to be keeping an eye on you, and it gives people an opportunity to straighten up. I mean, it really does. And I've seen situations where once they get away from that, there's a girl that I know who, you know, had problems with meth and everything. And, I mean, she got out of prison. She was doing fine. She was even speaking for to the youth and helping younger girls that were struggling with the same thing. She had been put up as a mentor, good Christian gal. And, you know, over time, she got back into that same stuff, and she's just spiraling downhill again now. And, you know, they say with addicts, they always go back to where they were. They don't. It's very rare that you'll find an addict that can clean their lives up and go back and use whatever it was with moderation. One thing that I found out that surprises me is apparently when you see people that are all tweaked out on meth, that's sort of an advanced stage. Apparently people can use that stuff for years, and it just slowly kind of chisels away at their body, but it's all quantity-based. Apparently they'll use it in smaller quantities, and it's, unless you know what you're looking for, it's not always that detectable. But, you know, we do operate much better while we're being watched. And our character and integrity is who we are when no one's watching. And I think that's important. You have to get to where when no one's watching, who are you? Now, there's people that are sluggards. They're like, I don't do nothing wrong. I just watch some TV and eat potato chips. Well, that's a sin in and of itself, too. You're wasting the creation that God made. That's you. You're wasting your life. You need to go do something constructive. Get involved. Get in a Bible study. Join some small groups. Get out in the world. Work in your yard. Do something. Enjoy life the way God made it. You're like, well, I can. I'm handicapped. You can do something. There's always something. I mean, if you're fully quadriplegic, okay, you're off the hook. But I've seen, you know, where people literally will get handicapped because of their obesity. I mean, that's Obama is the first one that made obesity an acceptable disability for Medicare. And so you can, and there's families that literally are training their children to become obese. They're teaching them how to prepare themselves to be qualified with a disability so that they can spend their life on welfare. Welfare has become a lifestyle in this nation. Was never intended to be that, and it was intended to be emergency funds only. You've got the liberals screaming right now about the Trump Care plan, okay? They're screaming that 22 million people are going to end up without insurance. Guess who those people are, folks? Those are the people that will no longer be forced to buy it by the government, so they will have a choice whether or not to buy it. The CBO, that's a Congressional Budget Office, which was a office created years back that was supposed to provide unbiased financial evaluation of all this legislation, which has become a political hack party in and of itself. They estimated that 22 million people would end up with no insurance because they're estimating these people won't buy it. If 22 million people have the choice to buy cheaper health care and they won't, what's that tell you? It tells you it's an unnecessary product. And, you know, our problem with our medical system, folks, isn't the fact that we don't offer universal health care. It's the fact that the cost of medicine and pharmaceuticals and hospitals has gone so extraordinarily high, we can't touch it. It's ridiculous. It costs more to spend a day in the hospital than it does to stay at the most expensive luxury resort in the world with a 3-star Michelin chef and the finest food on earth and the best drinks and a yacht ride every day. That doesn't make sense. It costs more than renting a villa through Four Seasons beachfront in Bora Bora with, you know, concierge staff and, you know, you get my point. These are facts. I'm not making this up. There's too much money going somewhere in hospitals. I don't know. I haven't always looked into it that deep. I had a good friend many moons ago, I think many years back, who was an administrator over a 12-hospital group for a very wealthy family in California. And he was telling me that, and this is also something to keep in mind, folks, if you don't have insurance and you go to the emergency room, you become what they call cash. So what they're going to do with you is they're going to set you up to try to make payments. Here's the thing you don't realize. When you pay cash, you pay the highest possible full throttle price. When they bill whatever procedures are done to you to an insurance company or Medicaid, Medicare, they will literally chisel the bill down. You know, if they say, we did this surgery and it's $2,250, they'll say, we'll pay $640. They'll say, well, we gave them an MRI and a CAT scan and an X-ray, and those all come to $2,950. And they'll say, no, for the three combined, we'll pay $780. And that's, they save all this money. But you don't, as a private payer. Why is that? Well, my friend who managed a 12 hospital group said that cash people, they assume people that owe them cash without insurance, they assume you're going to go bad. They assume you're not going to pay. So the reason they puff it way up is it gives them a bigger tax write-off. I had an employee once who sent his infant daughter in for an MRI. They charged him $12,000 because it was an a young child. A regular MRI would have been $700 or something. Of course, this guy's wife, while I was trying to work it out for him and make some phone calls, his wife impulsively slammed it on their credit card, and they ended up with a $12,000 debt over it, which, you know, whatever. It wasn't a wise decision on their part. But the fact that they charged so much, over 10 times, and that's what my friend of mine says. He says, if they take, he said, 10% of the patients are cash. And if they multiply that 10% by 10 times what they get from Medicare, Medicaid, or even 6 or 7 or 5 times, if they do $1 million in revenue and they have cash that they can write off for half of that, even though it's only 10%, they fluff it up so high that it consumes far more than it ever should, it gives them this big, massive tax write-off that's not reasonable, and then they have the ability to put the rest of the money in their pockets. That's another huge problem. The problem is, folks, in legislation, in our congressional legislation, they don't look at this stuff. Our political rhetoric and tension has hit a level I can't even believe. The left has become so tyrannically obstructive. And I mean, folks, to an absolute extreme fault, to the destruction of America, to the alienation of the people, the disenfranchisement of the constituency. They're absolutely killing their constituency, but the constituency doesn't know. Joseph Goebbels, tell a lie, the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe it. So they pump things out like Russia collusion and all these things that never, ever go away. They just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's a problem. I think you'd all agree. That is a problem. They just, you know, we start to consume it. They're creating division. They're creating a civil war. When it comes to debate, when I said in Psalms 15, you know, you speak truth in your heart. We're not speaking truth in our heart in this nation. We're getting good at the spin. So when I go on from that in that scripture, it's who can dwell in your holy hill, on your holy hill? He who does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against a friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised. In other words, if someone's bad, they're bad. The Bible's very clear. Don't associate with the wicked. Do not envy them. Don't do it. If people are not good people, if they're sinners, get them out of your life. Do not associate with them. Now, that's hard to do, but that applies at every level. Spouse, family, if they're living in sin, and I mean hardcore. I'm not talking, you know, someone who smokes pot once in a while, and I'm not saying that's okay, but it is legal in the state of Washington. But I'm talking about living in sin, you know, cheating, lying, stealing, you know, that kind of stuff. You've got to part ways. You've got to get that out. Beware lest, you know, bad company corrupts good morals, the Bible says, and it will. It'll absolutely take you down. So you've got to be careful about a reprobate to despise him, as it says. If someone is bad, remember, folks, they're bad. It's one thing to share Christ. It's another thing to immerse your life with those kinds of people because it will bite you. So be aware of that, please. It's the Hebrew word for reprobate is maas, M-A-A-C. And it means someone who is rejected, despised, refused, you know, they're not good. They're just not good and loathsome and, you know, that abhorred, whatever. Those are the, you know, it's when people hit that level in their life. And one example to me I've mentioned lately is pedophiles. I just have absolutely zero tolerance for them. I had the situation I mentioned where a guy who is supposedly this, you know, godly church guy referred a person with a criminal history of that and then was in shock when we were like, this is really bad. You know, we're not interested in this. And he goes, well, that's what the church is about. It's about forgiving, okay? Jesus said it's better if he pulled a child to himself and said, you see this? You need a heart of a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said, if you touch one of these kids, one of the least hair on their head, as you do to the least of these, you've done it to me. And it would be better that a millstone be tied around your neck and you be thrown into the ocean than when you basically get judged by Jesus. And so that is an area. People always talk about how God was so loving with children, and they show these pretty pictures of him with children. And trust me, he was. But that's that sermon or that parable, if you want to call it that, whatever it was, that little quip, was not at all about, you know, sunshine and lollipops. It was about the wrath of God on those who tamper with the lives of children. Now, I know people who have been truly sexually molested as a child, and it is a sick, sad thing. I've known it in the Christian church with people who are in leadership, and it is a sick, sad thing. I don't know what it is or how it's driven. I don't understand it. The mechanics don't make sense to me, but I don't care. There are certain things that go and certain things that don't go. Obviously, sin, there's many sins that an adult can choose to partake in. Again, it doesn't make it right, but they're adults and they can choose that. But when you impose that vial on a child and they get that permanently embedded in their brain and their psyche, it affects who they are. You're going to be judged for every single impact that had on that child. You're going to be judged for breaking God's laws. And then you're going to be judged for the impact that had on that child's future family and wives and kids. And as they moved on and had their own, God's going to judge you for that as well. And it's going to go on generation by generation. That's why you just don't mess with that stuff. And that's the scripture where right after it, Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye, you know, pluck it out. And he was talking specifically about the mistreatment of children at that time. That's what his topic was. Jesus said, don't you mistreat these children. He's like, I adore them. Their hearts are wonderful and beautiful, and they need to stay that way. God made them that way. Sin and the world will harden them. It's a tough place to be sometimes. But we need to walk the high road. So I'm just telling you, folks, if you're going to a church and they're kind of open arms with a guy like that, I just, you know, my opinion is there's people that belong there and people that don't. And that's me. Pedophiles reoffend. It's just a known fact. It just seems to be. So anyway, Psalms 15 again. We talked about, you know, he who does not despise, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised. Again, who can dwell on the holy hill of the Lord? He who honors those who fear the Lord. So you honor those who fear God, just like the story I told a minute ago. Man, when you're a believer dealing with a believer, honor them. Honor their faith. Honor who they are. Honor the commitment they've made. Honor the relationship. Honor the transaction. Just like the Bible says, to honor your father and your mother and you'll live a long, healthy, happy life. It's the only commandment with a promise. Honor. You have to honor your parents. If we don't honor our parents, which we don't, then society begins to break down. That is the core principle at the root of any healthy society. The relationship with parents dictates the society behavior. The child-to-adult relationship. If you get the Cambodia situation where they actually extricate the parents and then the government goes straight to educating the children, you end up with a government-run bunch of children who are ice cold and they become executioners. You know, we've seen it in many other countries. Nazi Germany, he took over the young men with his SS and whatnot, and he committed heinous acts. I talked about when I was in the Israeli Holocaust Museum, and I came out the other end to a guy who, as I've mentioned over and over, is phenomenal. And I said, boy, he was a monster, I said about Hitler. This Jewish guy with a PhD in Israeli history and a general in the Mossad, he became frustrated almost. He said, no, that's not true. He said, that could never be accomplished with one man. It takes millions and millions and millions of people to cooperate. And so what they're doing now in our society is vilifying you and I, who have conservative Christian views on things. We're being vilified, folks. We're being set up. We're being prepared. Society's being prepared that our language is foolish and it's intolerable and they don't need to listen to it because it's bigoted and it's homophobic and xenophobic and sexophobic and whatever phobic they can come up with. And therefore, you don't need to listen to it. It's racist. It's nasty, nasty talk, they tell them. And so they literally say because it's worthless speech, it doesn't qualify as freedom of speech. They are now being taught that freedom of speech means that it only applies to speech that they approve of and enjoy hearing. The First Amendment to the Constitution was written for the exact opposite purpose. It's not the pleasant speech that's protected. It's the unpleasant speech. The biggest problem that we've got right now is the Fourth Estate, the media. They've literally gone off their rails. They're nuts. They have anti-Trump derangement syndrome like I've never, ever seen. This is absolutely heinous, the destructive approach that's taken place recently. So let's buzz on here and we'll talk about that. So who can dwell in the holy hill of the Lord? We left, who honors those who fear the Lord. You respect other believers' positions. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know if someone fears God. This says those who fear the Lord, not those who claim him as their Savior, or I shouldn't even say that, you know, but those who claim to be part of him but do nothing to, confirm that statement. It's not uncommon to find people that are just not walking the walk. Now, we all backslide, we have hard times, but you sit down with a person like that and you say, hey, I've been watching your life, and I'm telling you, I am not seeing the witness in that life that I think should be there. If they say, yeah, you're absolutely right, I understand, I know that, and I've been struggling, well, that person's got a heart for God. Just the fact that they're broken and fallen means nothing. It's when they begin to justify and rationalize and minimize and deny everything that you're like, we got a problem here, because they're searing their conscience, as the Bible says. And it also says that God will turn you over to a reprobate heart, to a despised, rejected, refused heart. If your heart grows hard against God and calloused and deceived, as God reaches out over and over and you continue to push back and reject, that God will let you go. And we've got this once saved, always saved thing going on. Now, for the most part, I don't disagree with that. But The Bible says the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Spirit. Now, what is blasphemy of the Spirit? Think about that for a minute. You know, what would that possibly be that could cost you your salvation and make it unforgivable? I think it is clearly rejecting the Holy Spirit, because he says blaspheming the Spirit is the unforgivable sin. That's a very interesting statement. Very interesting, isn't it? The only unforgivable sin is to blaspheme God. So when you see people that are rejecting God wholesale, that means that it probably means that they're blaspheming God. And that may mean that they've already been rejected or they've walked away. Folks, I don't understand it. I am a born-again believer. I cannot reject God. He is real to me. But apparently it's possible. Right? You know, who knows, right? So I guess just to finish those scriptures real quick here where we got going, you know, you walk with integrity, you work righteousness, you speak truth in your heart, you don't slander with your tongue, you don't do evil to your neighbor or bring a reproach against a friend. You treat your friends right, you treat your neighbors right, you got to be a good neighbor, a good guy. You let politics and religion out of the way because they're your neighbor. And what did Christ say about how we treat our neighbor? Better than ourselves, right? That's how you treat your neighbor. And then it goes on and it says, God, you know, who can dwell on the holy hill of the Lord? In whose eyes a reprobate is despised. Just like I said, God can turn someone over to a reprobate heart, a reprobate mind. When they go over the edge like that, moms, let them go. You know, there are the enabling mothers out there. It's a sickness, folks. It's a sickness. When your child continues to fail and sin against you and abuse you verbally and blame you for everything, I mean, I could tell stories, folks. I could tell you stories. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen girls go off and become strippers and blame their dads, although their dads did nothing, and then say their dads should have come and rescued them from it, even though they were in hardcore rebellion, and if their dad did, they'd almost got shot. You know, and on and on and on. And then moms sulk and they're all sullen and bummed out because it is your child. But when they hit their 20s, you know, it's their life choice. Until you let that go, you will never see reconciliation. They've got to be able to live their own life, suffer their own consequences, deal with their own responsibilities. And it may take 5 years, it may take forever. Doesn't matter. What matters is that you properly equip them to live a godly life in the Lord, and that comes from responsibility. Because if you don't take responsibility, how can you admit you're a sinner and that you need to be saved? How can you admit you failed if you don't take responsibility for your actions? If you want to point the finger and blame everybody else, you can't say that you're a sinner that needs to be saved. You might like the Christian badge because you grew up with it or whatever. But I'm saying, folks, there is such a thing as enabling and codependency. And anybody who will sin to such an extreme that they cause severe and dire harm to their family and then expect their family's lives to be turned upside down, they're narcissistic, they're sociopathic, they don't understand. Enabling takes two parties. It takes one who blames and one who accepts blame. And unfortunately, the world's full of them. My dad was a bail bondsman, and he used to talk about the prison moms all the time. They have a certain personality in most cases. They all think their little Johnny is a great little boy who'd never do anything wrong. He was just misunderstood. He got tied up with the wrong friends. It wasn't him that committed the violent crimes. It was the drugs or whatever. But he made choices. And there are people on drugs all over the place. They're not all violent criminals. We're being brainwashed right now. And I'll tell you another thing. In fact, let me see if I can. Well, one other thing that I'll touch on briefly here is this opiate stuff. I could not figure out why there was the huge onslaught of the anti-opiate propaganda coming out of our TVs and radios and written text. I was like, what is this? I know Solomon said the money's the answer to everything, so you follow the money and you figure it out. I couldn't figure out what it was till today when I realized they wanted $45 billion dedicated in the Trump Care Plan to treat opiate addiction. Okay, now. You're like, well, that's a good thing. Well, I don't know. It's money to pharmaceutical companies in the medical practice. Why is it the more money we throw at the drug war, the worse it gets? It's really unpatriotic now to say that's a problem. It's unpatriotic to disagree, to think something's wrong. The more money we put into our drug war, the worse it gets. You look at Portugal, where they legalized everything in 05, and crime went through the floor. Drug use dropped off rapidly. Something happened about the rush and the hiding. I don't know. But it doesn't work that way. Man needs free will with regulated accountability. Men have to make their own decision, and it is their business what they do with their own bodies. Now, pharmaceutical companies make a killing by poisoning you to death, and it's sad. It's very sad. But I will tell you straight up, it doesn't make it okay because they're a big conglomerate and they hide behind drugs. Drugs and terrorism, folks, it's just the way it's always been. It's a scary situation, so you need to prepare yourself, to recognize it when it comes your way. So Psalms 15, again, starts out, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? So we did the walks, we got integrity, righteousness, and truth in their hearts. We've got someone who's not slandering. That's tough sometimes because it becomes a gray area. What is slander? I've heard churches take that way too far. Talking about others, that's not true. Slander is intentionally demeaning the reputation of another, knowing that it's untrue at the time. So you can't, a godly man doesn't intentionally destroy other people with lies. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Similar thing, right? You just don't do it. You speak the truth in your heart. You speak the truth in love. Now, if you're in a situation where you need to deal with something, then you got to learn diplomacy to obey God. There's a lot to do and a lot to say, if you're diplomatic. So we've got no slander. We've got not doing evil to our neighbor. We aren't, a good godly man isn't taking up a reproach against his friend. In other words, you respect your friends, and we've all made that mistake. The hard part is identifying who our friends are sometimes. And in whose eyes a reprobate is despised. That means you hate evil. Who honors those who fear the Lord. That means you respect godliness. You honor them. You make their life good. I've heard stories like, I don't listen to Joel Osteen much, but every now and then I have. And I've heard him tell stories about people from his church going to an auto shop or a car dealership or whatever. And they literally will see someone from their own church from Lakewood. And they will go out of their way to give them the deal of the century because they're a fellow believer. And that's the way we should be. It shouldn't be about what we get in return. It should be because we honor those who fear the Lord. We honor them. We want to be the arms of God in sharing blessing with those people and paying it forward. What goes around comes around. We don't stand around and wait for it and expect it. But I'll tell you what, folks, what goes around comes around. We want to be the arms and the eyes, the hands and the eyes of God for others. Okay, let's buzz this out. So then we got, whose eyes are reprobates, despised, honors those who fear the Lord, swears to his own hurt and does not change. That's where I started the show. To me, that's a big one. That means if you make a promise, you keep it. I don't care what happens. I don't care if it's tough and hard and, you know, everything changed and you didn't see it coming. And, you know, when you make a promise, you keep the darn promise. You keep it. If it hurts, that's fine. You're building up spiritual credit with God. You're showing God your faithfulness and loyalty. There's no experience. There's no substitute for experience. God wants experience in life. There's no hiding it otherwise. You can't gain all the wisdom of the world by not living life and learning some lessons. You can apply certain lessons to other situations, but you can't learn it all from a book. These are called lessons you don't learn in a book. So we're swearing to our own hurt without changing. And that's the whole situation I started on with the babysitting deal. The two guys made a deal. At the end, the one guy thought, oh, I can get more money, technically, a better tax break out of this. And then he starts getting all self-righteous and puts the guy in a bad spot. Doesn't matter about the money. What matters is you had a deal. The one guy that went off the deep end said, oh, yeah, I agree we had a deal, but I didn't know I could save on my taxes. The problem was all that difference in price was already calculated in, enough of that. Psalms 15:5, who can dwell on the holy hill of the Lord? He who does not put out his money at interest. Do not charge people interest if you loan them money. I've talked about this. If you ever loan money to a friend or relative, ever consider it a gift or don't do it at all. Maybe get collateral or whatever, fine, but consider it a gift or don't do it at all. I swear from all my years in banking and boys and girls, I did a lot of it. 97% of the time it affects relationships. It's not worth it. Co-signing for relatives is a sin. Okay, I'll touch on that real quick. And then the rest of it. You don't put your money out at interest. You don't take a bribe against the innocent. That's obvious. And he who does these things will never be shaken. The Bible talks about giving a pledge, co-signing for others. I believe maybe it's in somewhere in Proverbs, Proverbs 6 perhaps, where I think it is because it's in conjunction with the same scripture that says, the things, there's seven things that the Lord hates. So I believe it's like, it says, if you've become surety for a neighbor or given your pledge for a stranger, and in Hebrew, in a way that, you know, stranger in the Hebrew is zur. It's Z-U-R, basically. It means somebody who is not fully closely tied to you. It's saying if you've given a pledge for someone like that, and I'll tell you, I spent years in banking, and I even ran a massive auto dealership finance department that had like 12 guys doing finance under me. And I saw people that would co-sign for their buddy or co-sign for their friend's, for their kid's friend. Or that's co-signing or being surety for a stranger. You don't do it. I've seen Christian people do it foolishly, co-signing for everybody. It's just they don't get it. What they really don't get is they're putting their name on it. They're on the hook. If the bank doesn't think they can pay, it doesn't mean they won't. And having a co-signer sure helps. But it's a lot of strain and stress. So what does God say about co-signing? He says, if you've been snared with this, in other words, if you have become a co-signer for your neighbor or surety for your neighbor, or you've given your pledge for a stranger, if you've been snared with the words of your mouth in this way, you've been caught with the words of your mouth, it says, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself, since you have come into the hand of your neighbor. In other words, you no longer have control of yourself because, as the Bible says, debt consumes the very soul of a man. Being in debt is a form of slavery. It's not, we're not made for that by God. We're made for autonomy, and we're made to give. We're made for God to give and bless us as he sees fit. We're made to work hard to, you know, accomplish and accumulate in a godly way. He says, if you've been snared with the words of your mouth, you've been caught with the words of your mouth, do this, my son, and deliver yourself since you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. He's saying, get out at all costs, beg, walk on, you know, your hands and knees over glass, get out of it if you can. Go to the bank, get your name off the note. If you can, find someone to replace you as a cosigner. He's saying he doesn't like it. It's not a good thing. There's a number of reasons, because it creates all kinds of high-risk debt. It makes interest rates even higher. It causes people to default, ruin their credit, ruin their lives, lose goods. You know, we finance depreciable items like vehicles. There's all kinds of stuff I can discuss about it. God don't like, so don't do. I'll just say that. So here we are. We're cooking right along a little bit, as usual. Okay, folks, this is 4th of July weekend, right? God loves liberty, right? We are here today because of liberty and justice for all. The word liberty is a word for freedom. In Psalms 119, David says, how blessed are those who walk in your way and seek your liberty. He says, I will walk in liberty and seek your precepts. I'll speak of your testimonies before kings. Folks, we need freedom to live our Christian life. This is what our founding fathers did for us. The Spirit of the Lord, O God, is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. That's Isaiah 61:1. We share Christ and we liberate people. Christianity is the root of the theory of liberty in government. God is the author of liberty. God gave us what? Free will. Free will, right? Freedom. We need freedom, free will. We can't be who we're designed to be if we don't have free will. You want to, you know, this socialist rage that's going around. When you look at North Korea and these people are starving to death and being tortured and beaten, and I encourage you to watch some videos on YouTube from the defectors of this nation of North Korea, of the torture that they're enduring in the terrible, terrible circumstances. They're starving to death. Whenever you get a tyrannical leadership, an oligarchy, it's over, folks. The problem is we are a republic. That is a beautiful thing. But we are being told we're a democracy. Democracy is a transitional form of government on its way to a tyranny. We believe what we believe biblically. The left truly is a different animal. And I'm telling you, bias, I get it, and people go crazy. But when we seek truth, as we've discussed, and I watch debates between the left and the right, and the left just moves the target, moves the target. They can't be nailed down on anything. They're very Saul Alinsky. They will not ever answer any direct questions. They will not stay on topic. They will not stay on a topic that a conservative knows. It is all built around the deception of the devil. Liberalism is change. The Bible talks clearly over and over, avoid those who are given to constant change. It's important you stay away from people who are liberal. The Bible even says it. Avoid those people, it says. God tells us we want liberty. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, what? There is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. We got a good thing. We live under liberty in this country. It's a beautiful, beautiful freedom. We want it. We've fought for it. We bled. We've died for it. Man has given their blood, sweat, tears, and treasure to give us freedom today. Folks, the greatest price has been paid. We've been lied to. People don't understand the sacrifices our founding fathers made for us to have freedom this weekend, to celebrate it this weekend. It matters. We broke away from Great Britain. Now they're our great ally. That's how God works. Because of our strength and our example, many things in that nation have become more streamlined and less tyrannical. But the tyrannies that surround the world are threatening us as a level like never before. We know about World War II and Hitler and Stalin and all these wretched men. But now we're in the battle of disinformation. We're now being taken over from within. This is what scares me the most. Where is the end game? I don't know. I was with a good Christian friend the other day. He goes, this isn't going to end, is it? I said, I don't think so. Folks, you need to be prepared and you need to be wise. You need to be willing to fight. We had another shooting today, a doctor in his own hospital. We've got shootings all over. So the left comes out and screams anti-gun. How stupid are they? I'm so tired of the lack of logic. Anybody can get a gun. Anybody, there's plenty out there. So, but their solution is to destroy them all. Well, guess what? That isn't even going to put a dent in them. We can't destroy them all. We just cannot. And the more we destroy, the rarer they become. The best solution to preserve our liberty is to arm ourselves. We need to arm ourselves, okay? Now, there's a few things recently I've kind of touched on or ran into. Dana Lash gave a commercial for the NRA about I'll try to find it here. I should have had it ready. It's a beautiful saying that, or it's well put, I should say, where, see if I can find the transcript. I'm running out of time. What's new, right? Let's see. They use their media to assassinate. Here's what she says. They use their media to, and of course they claim that she's, you know, calling for violence and all this garbage. Not true at all, folks. So don't, you know. She says, and I'll hurry. Oh, I gotta go. They use their media to assassinate real news. They use their schools to teach children that their president is another Hitler. They use their movie stars and singers and comedy shows and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again. And then they use their ex-president to endorse the resistance. All to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, to smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding until the only option left is for the police to do their jobs and stop the madness. And when that happens, they'll use it as an excuse for their outrage. The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth. She says, I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place. Folks, that's where we are. That's who we are. That's what we need. I had some other information to go over today, some neat stuff, and as you know, I drift. But I'm telling you, we are at a crucial crossroads. This is a civil war. It's becoming a civil war of division. Trump defends himself by tweets, and they scream and yell like children that are, you know, are stuck in a pit. Folks, they have abused our president so terribly and heinously, it's unbelievable. If they want our president to act presidential, they need to treat him with respect. The Bible's very clear about how you respect a king. He's not a king, but you get my point. And we, you know, and I say, don't dish it out if you can't take it. They sling insults and character assassinations at him, and then they squeal when he responds in kind. Our society has become pathetically whiny and severely oversensitive. And I think Dana Loesch did a good job of addressing what's going on out there and how severe it is. Folks, you can be part of the American way, the biblical way, and financially, get your money locked up. Get guns, gold, and God, you know? I mean, we've got it the way it is. You want to secure yourself, prepare yourself. There's EMP threats out there. I read a story recently that would, you know, make the hair on your back stand up if you had any. They think the terrorists have access to an EMP now. They think that there's been a covert transfer of it. They're keeping it under tabs, and they don't want to let it out to the media. The whole society could shut down in a moment. We'd be knocked back to the dark ages overnight. And if you have any paper money, you're done. Done, done, done. You need hard assets. I don't care if you have diamonds. I don't care. It's assets. That's what you need. Give Coins Plus a call, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through the website, coinsplus.com. Have a great weekend, folks. We got our previously recorded shows on the coinsplus.com. But take care. God bless. Please keep in mind what this weekend's about, the blood that was shed. All right? Thanks again. God bless. Love y'all. Bye-bye.